One of the most effective ways of making roads safer is line marking. Steve Levitt.
Line marking is probably one of the cheapest ways that we can make a road safer. All types of delineation, whether it's a sign or a series of what we call curve alignment markers, CAMs, paint on the pavement, reflectors on the pavement, they work exceedingly well to delineate a direction of a road, especially when going into curves. You need to define tightness of a curve to a driver so he can see that he needs to slow down. So paint on the road actually is the cheapest way to do it. But some of the ways that we've been doing it haven't always been the best. And for many years, we've had centre lines that were only separated by probably 400 or 500 mil between opposing flows. Even double barrier lines, which used to be yellow, now are white. They're probably the cause of a lot of crashes. As soon as you become distracted, you have no room for error to drift into the opposing flow. We would like to separate it. We have a lot, whole sections of the Pacific Highway. We've either put down normal paint and separated the centre lines and reduced the shoulder widths. It was better value to reduce the shoulder width and get more width in the centre than to worry about whether the shoulder width had to stay wide or not. That was good. We were getting up to about a metre and a half of width. Massive reduction in crashes. And if you made them audio tactile, it was even better. We got better results.
Now, the reflective road markers that are used on quite a lot of highways and roads, they must have a safety benefit. Tell me about that.
They're a nighttime treatment. Now, we get cases where we've had people put these things in and never had a nighttime crash. All the crashes are occurring during the day. We use them out west and they work exceedingly well. They're called raised retro-reflective pavement markers, RRPMs. We have them in different colours. On the left-hand side, they're red. On the other side, they're white. And if you're on a freeway, they're yellow. They have ones now that work off little solar. They're either solar or they're linked to a power source. And they will flash at different times. You have them down on the Princess Highway where we go from tidal flow and we move the road across. They will flash at you and tell you whether you're in the right lane or not. They're developing a new type that is actually a thermoplastic blob, which seems to work quite well. They have these different elements built into them, ceramic elements and reflective beads. What we've seen of those so far, and they're still being trialled, you can cover them with water. You can cover the paint with water if it's just ordinary paint on the road and they have these elements in them. And they light up at night with headlights and they just shine. So having water on the road and losing sight of all your pavement and line marking, that's not going to happen with this. It actually gets brighter. And it's brighter when it's wet, when the water's over it, than when it's not.
How important is street lighting in terms of being able to reduce crashes?
Certainly at junctions, it's most important. Just running it along the edge of roads and long, that's why we don't have it in rural roads. It's of no use to anything. But as soon as you get to an intersection or somewhere where someone has to make a decision on something, the lighting was fantastic and it actually had a big effect on crash reduction.
Roadside signage is also experiencing a quiet revolution.
Variable message signs are quite useful. You have static and you have mobile variable message signs. Things like the road's wet, slow down. That's a good one. We've got a lot of systems that we've put up, like the Pacific Highway and some of the others. We have these large permanent variable message signs. And they're there for incident management as much as anything. If there's a major crash up a highway, we will put up signs saying, you must use this route, go another way. Speed signs, in urban areas, we've been using variable speed zoning for ages. A lot of it is a bit tricky. I don't know how the algorithms are still working, but we tried to set one up in Newcastle where it was so interactive that when the vehicle flow over a certain point got to a certain level, that the speed would actually reduce from 80 to 60. That was one that we were looking at, and that would be purely interactive. So in other words, when the number of vehicles crossing over a certain point got high enough, the speed would actually slow the vehicles down because we're getting really high numbers of crashes.